The friendly skies have gotten a little less friendly, but you need to keep flying. Why? I'll tell you why today. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist, and I'm here to help you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. Well, what's going on today? We're all thinking about the latest flight to crash into the ocean, Egypt Air. Remember the commercial that used to say, fly the friendly skies? Well, they've gotten a little less friendly these days. Before today's latest event, we've had the shoe bomber. He brought down an airplane. We had the underwear bomber. He brought down an airplane. And now Egypt Air. Well, you know, everybody's searching around for what might have caused Egypt Air to crash. And there have been a number of theories put out. One is a cockpit struggle. Because of the way that the aircraft swerved, it seemed like there might have been some kind of struggle inside the cockpit. And that the pilots might have been trying to control another possibility is that maybe they were trying to control an aircraft disabled by an explosion. But before we go further with all these different possibilities, you know, nobody seems to be mentioning, at least not what I heard, about an Egypt Air flight that crashed before this in 1999. In fact, on Halloween in 1999, there was the crash of the Egypt Air 990. It was going from L.A. to Cairo, just like this one was going from Paris to Cairo. Well, what was the cause of that? Although there was a lot of controversy. In fact, it turned out it was suicide by co-pilot, an Egyptian co-pilot. Now, this was 1999, before 9/11, and you know, it was a little more difficult to think about the act being more of a terrorist act, but still, that's what it turned out to be. And yet I don't hear anybody, I haven't been able to find what the nationalities are of the co-pilot, but regardless of the nationalities, I mean, it seems likely they would be from Egypt, since it's Egypt Air. Regardless, certainly that's something that needs to be considered as one of the causes of the crash. Also, there have been some theories about a sudden impact. Maybe the plane was hit by an external object that knocked it out of the sky. Another possibility is technical failure, although many experts are saying that the way it crashed makes it very unlikely that it was technical failure, unless there was something in addition that was related to humans, like a cockpit struggle or human error or something. So I just wanted to bring up that, you know, our memories are short, and at least we need to think about suicide by pilot. Anyway, I know what you're thinking. Any plans that you made for coming up for the summer, or perhaps a long weekend that's coming up, if you were planning to fly, I know you've been thinking that, maybe I should cancel my flight. Maybe I don't really have to go. Also, for those of you who fly a lot for work, are you thinking about getting another job, trading it in? It's not worth risking your life for this job that maybe you don't like anyway. You know, it's totally understandable that you would think about these things, but you need to keep flying, bottom line. And why is that? Not only is it that you might lose something important to you, like a job that you like the fun of travel, whether it's for pleasure or work, like seeing your loved ones, traveling to see your loved ones. Those are not things that are worth giving up for the rare chance that you could be on a plane that for whatever reason crashes related to terrorism. The other reason, and a biggie, is because the more people who decide that they are afraid to fly and stop flying, the terrorists, of course, are going to be getting wind of that. They get to see, the studies, the news, our headlines, giving the latest statistics of how many people have canceled their flights or have just decided not to fly. And so what does that do? It gives them all the more reason to crash more airplanes, whether it's by pilot suicide, a suicide bomber in a sense, or by putting bombs literally on planes, or being a shoe bomber, an underwear bomber, or whatever kind of bomber, a police bomber that gets loaded onto the plane. It just tells them this is the way to do it. This is the way to terrify the American public and the Western public. So these are all reasons why you need to keep flying, even though the skies have become questionably friendly. Let's talk about something else that has come into the press lately, which is someone has leaked the rules that the TSA uses for how to spot a terrorist. They had this list of rules that they were using. It was actually, it's called the screening of passengers by observation techniques, or SPOT. And they have specifically trained behavior detection officers who use this. Now, the reason why it was leaked, supposedly, was by a source who knew this list, and he was concerned, he or she was concerned about the quality of the program, because some of these things seemed less than accurate or less than sufficiently accurate. In fact, some of them seem like things that you and I do all the time when we're going through the security checkpoints. They divided the list into those behaviors that reveal stress, those that reveal fear, and those that reveal deception. So, for example, behaviors that you might have that they would interpret as showing stress would be if you arrived late for your flight. Well, how many of you have arrived late for your flight? Certainly that's something that I have done. If you avoid eye contact with the security personnel, that's considered stress. If you have excessive fidgeting, that is stress. Now, it's true that these are signs of stress, but the thing is that we are all under so much stress because of terrorism and because of the fact that when we approach the security check line, we become more stressed, because that is when, for many of us, that is the time when our denial is broken through, because we suddenly remember, there is a possibility that we could be in danger if we fly, or ever since 9/11, we've had to take our shoes off, things like that. So yes, we're reminded, it's a trigger for PTSD. And so we're reminded of all these things. And yes, we're going to feel stressed out. Now, some of the points that they look at that resemble fear, that tell them that we're feeling fearful, are when we're constantly looking at other travelers, for example. Or if we I don't like this to be line, that we are excessively, let me see the exact words, excessive complaints about the screening process. Now, that is me. Let me tell you a story that happened to me recently. I was flying and from LA to Atlanta, I think it was, or to New York. Now I can't remember. But in any case, it was, it was New York. I was flying from LA to New York. And I was on I had gotten, fortunately, a TSA pre-check. And so I wanted to, now normally, I'm sure you've experienced this, in the past, if you carry your boarding card your boarding pass and an identity or whatever you have in your hand that you start to carry through the security checkpoint, they tell you to put it in your bags, okay? So this time I put it in my bags, and I get to the to this TSA people, and I tell them, I've shown it to one person, you know, back in, right when I go through the line, and so I tell them I'm at pre-check. I don't have to do these things that they were asking me to do. Oh well, where is your pre-check pass? So, well, it's in my bags that are in the process of going through your screening, your radiation. They're getting radiated. Oh, well, I'm sorry. You'll have to, you know, we can't help you. You'll have to go through the line like everybody else. So, you know, I felt like saying, and I think I did, in fact, say something similar to, you need to get your act together. I did tell them that in the past I've always been told to put all my passes in my bags, and that's what I did. Anyhow, so I guess they were suspecting me. In fact, they did actually look at me. I mean, they were probably pissed because I was giving them a hard time, but I think they did look at me somewhat more suspiciously. So maybe they thought I was the girlfriend of a terrorist in the harem of a terrorist or whatever, and I did get extra attention in any case. Not good attention. Then for things, the factors that make them think about deception would be a disguise, wearing a looking like you're wearing a disguise. Well, like, duh. And you get certain points for these different factors. So, like, for example, if you appear to be in disguise, you get 3 points. If you are some of the other things, you just get 1 point. So, by the end, they add up all the points and they decide just how much of a risk you are. But some of the things are sort of questionable, like a bobbing Adam's apple, which presumably, you know, looks like either stress or fear. Stress and fear are pretty similar, but anyhow. So if you have an Adam's apple, make sure it doesn't bob. Then there are things like exaggerated yawning, excessive throat clearing, widely open staring eyes, wearing improper attire for the location, whistling. Now that's a thing. I would tell you, you know the song, Whistle a Happy Tune? My parents, I'll never forget, when I was 5 and having my tonsils out, my mother told me to sing this song on the way to the hospital. I will never forget that. Whistle a happy tune whenever I feel afraid. I whistle a happy tune, and the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid, or something like that. And so it kind of works because it takes your mind off what you're afraid of. But on the other hand, if you're, don't whistle it, you can whistle that on the way to the airport, but don't whistle it when you get too close to the TSA checkpoints, or else they will suspect you of being a terrorist. Gazing down, exaggerated or repetitive grooming gestures, your face pale from recent shaving of a beard, rubbing or wringing of hands. I mean, obviously, I guess they're thinking that terrorists might want to shave their beard off to look less like terrorists, some of the terrorists. Anyhow, these are some of the things that you need to know to avoid when you're going through the line, if you can. I remember once when I was going on a flight to Israel. Israel, of course, has the best security, both in terms of at the checkpoints and in their airports and just in general. I mean, it's known. And I was just listening yesterday to an interview of someone who, the man who organized, built, was involved with the Israeli airport, and who was involved particularly in the security. And he started to talk about it, And the interviewers did give him the acknowledgement that Israel does have the best security of everywhere. And then they tried to tell him that it was because Israel is a small country and these kinds of procedures wouldn't work in a big country like America. To which he said, he gave the example of Walmart, that in some stores, big Walmarts, they have, I don't know, 50 checkouts. I guess he was just trying to make a point. They have a lot of checkouts and checkout counters, you know. And in some Walmarts, smaller Walmarts, they have a smaller number of checkouts. But the process, the procedure, the thing that they use is still the same, whether it's a lot or a little. And so he was making the point that, so what if there are more airports in America? You can still have them geared in the setup in the same way that the Israeli airports are to be much more secure. So when I was going from New Jersey to Israel, they have a lot of layers. And so they do it more by actually talking to you, not just the other kinds of things like putting your bags through, irradiating your bags. And so at the time, it was before 9/11. And but still, there was, of course, always the threat of terrorism. And so I was making an inappropriate joke about when he asked about what weapons I have. And I made some kind of joke about, you know, having something in my bag. And he looked me in the eye and he said, "You do have a weapon, your mouth." So I never forgot that, obviously. And it just, you know, at the time it kind of shut me up, because to make me realize just how serious this whole thing is. And yes, you're not supposed to make jokes. And in fact, that's one of the things that in America, TSA looks for, making inappropriate jokes about terrorism. And you can get into real legal trouble for that. So let me give you some tips. Again, the whole point of this is why you need to keep flying even though the skies have gotten a little less friendly. And so here are my tips. First of all, don't cancel your flights, whether it's for work or for vacation. Don't let the terrorists win. Then just don't exhibit the clues. I know, of course, it's hard for some of them because they are so typical of anybody feeling stress or feeling fear, but be aware of these points that they look for and try not to exhibit any of them. And then I created a company called Shrink On Board. I'm the Shrink On Board, and I created an audio video program called The Art of Relaxation. It was first played in Delta in-flight entertainment, and then Finnair, and then other planes. And the whole point of it was to make people feel more comfortable on a plane, to not have, whether you have fear of flying in general before terrorism, or just now you're more anxious, because really anxiety can have not only psychological effects like a panic attack, but it can also have physical attacks. Yes, like the more anxious you feel, you can get deep vein thrombosis, or you can get a heart attack or a stroke. And obviously, these are things that you need to watch out for. So you can now get a copy of the audio or video program of the relaxation program to help you calm down. I use guided imagery specifically geared for the kinds of anxieties that we're having today. And then, so you can take that along. And then, of course, if you have children that you're taking on your trip, you can read my forthcoming book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. But the main thing is you need to keep flying, because yes, of course, would I feel terrible if you listen to this and you didn't cancel your flights and something happened to your plane? Yes, I'd feel incredibly guilty and terrible. But you know what? I'm okay with that because the chances are that that is not going to happen. Good chances. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist, putting the monster of terrorism under the bed, putting the light on it, and putting it on my couch, helping you to feel calmer.